Good morning here from Dublin, Ireland. It is your weekly podcast with the Rachels. And today our topic is on connection. So, Rachel, over to you.
Thank you, Rachel.
What does connection mean to you?
Yeah, even before we were starting this podcast, we were asking that question, weren't we?
That's for sure.
So, well, I suppose connection for me would be being able to connect with people, I suppose.
Yeah.
But when I say that, I found in the past, I suppose I would go back to when I used to feel disconnected from people.
Yeah.
So I didn't really connect with them. Mm. I kind of felt this kind of distance. And I suppose what was going on for me then was I don't think I was really being true to myself. I wasn't being myself.
Okay.
So I find when I'm connecting with people, I'm myself.
And why? Why weren't you being yourself, let's say?
So, I suppose a lot of things that would kind of add up and say, well, you know.
Was it like a guard? Like, were your walls up, or was it just not really knowing who you are?
That's
or
what it is, yeah. Okay. So, it was like, okay, things happened, I built these walls, and you kind of go around, just going through life, showing you have, you know, you're happy, this, that, and the other, you know. But I just never felt that kind of bond. I never felt that true connection with somebody. And I always felt disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
So now I actually feel, I suppose it was a couple of years ago before we met, that I went through a process of realising I'm a bit disconnected from myself, disconnected from the world, and you know, I wanted to kind of be more connected. But the only way I feel connected with people is when I'm actually myself. When I'm comfortable being myself.
Mm.
I'm comfortable being vulnerable.
Mm.
I'm comfortable opening up. I'm comfortable talking about different topics.
Mm.
And not just the surface level.
Yeah.
You know, what about you? Is it the deep level that you like to connect with, or is it the surface level? You know what I mean? The surface level. When I say surface level, I mean like not the weather, what's going on social media,
the
what's
chit-chat.
Going on Brexit or the coronavirus.
Yeah.
What's
totally
going on in people's lives? Yeah.
Yeah, and like really, really getting to know someone from a very real perspective, and I suppose it's like the emotional connection for me is really important.
Yeah.
So like we were talking earlier on, myself and Rachel were talking non-stop for 2 hours before we actually started recording this. So we've touched on loads of things even just from our general conversation today, but like we were saying earlier on, like for me it's like the real, what's at the real core of the person, like what really shaped you as an individual, you know, like people's biggest highlights in life, their biggest disappointments, their biggest struggles, like all of that stuff, I'm always all ears for that, you know what I mean? Like I can do the chit chat and the airy fairy and all of that stuff as well, but I wouldn't be able to keep, you know, I wouldn't be able to keep the connection alive just based on that, because it just isn't enough for me, you know what I mean? And you said it really well a few weeks ago when we were talking about this as well, and you mentioned something along the lines of bringing your true self or being who you really are or something like that, and like that's it really in a sentence, because it's bringing who you really are. So who is that, you know what I mean? And for me it's like having those kind of more, I don't even know what the words are, isn't it mad when you actually try to articulate it, it gets really hard, but for me it's like more around like the deeper stuff, I suppose, you know, like what really makes you tick, what shaped you, what, you know, like I need more than just, oh, what you do at the weekend, yeah, it was great, got my hair done and went for a bite to eat, and you know, like that doesn't really tell me that much about who you are. Does that make sense?
Yeah that makes sense, because exactly what we were talking about earlier, it's we like meaningful conversations,
we like the deep intense
dark, nothing sadistic,
so, sometimes
you?
Dark,
yeah, you know, just we like the deep, we like what's going
it's
on
grit.
Now,
it's kind of the grit or something that.
And
like,
I find I was getting that through series on Netflix.
Mm.
I was getting that from watching serial killers. I was watching that. Okay, it's a bit of a trend here. You know, I was watching it through movies. But I wasn't getting it in my relationships, and I wasn't getting that feeling in friendships. Now my friendships are pretty good, but you know what I mean. I still wasn't getting that because I wasn't letting people know what I was really into. And then we met, and it was like, oh my God, I'm not so odd, you know, and that really opened it up for me, for connection. Like I was on a path before then, Because I don't think, if you hadn't met me 3 years ago, we wouldn't have the relationship or friendship we have now. We wouldn't have it, because I wouldn't be that person. So when we met in 2018, I was on a journey of self-discovery and undoing all the layers of the persona and the ego. And I was undoing all that. That when I met you, I was at my real. I was...
Okay, so you are bringing who you really are, as opposed to this persona or this kind of whatever, you know, facade that you presented to the world.
Exactly. Yeah. So when we started talking, and we talked about for hours, and then I was like, this is what I really, really, really enjoy. I'm not scared to be vulnerable. I'm not scared to open up. I'm actually okay with it.
And it's mad, like, knowing you and thinking that you weren't always like this. You know what I mean? That this is a side of yourself that you kind of kept hidden or didn't really show or whatever. Because to me, it's like, that must have been mentally exhausting for you, because this is so much of who you are. Like, you love the deep stuff. You're obsessed with serial killers. You know what I mean? And like the latest, like, deep, heavy, dark, meaningful thing on Netflix. Like, I just can't imagine you not being like that. Because if you take away that side of your personality, it just takes away all of these different dimensions that make you you. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it must have been very empty or something, or just meaningless, or just, or even nearly just like, I can't imagine that you would have even gotten any like enjoyment or meaning out of the meetups or the friendships or whatever, you know?
Look, don't get me wrong. I mean, I have people in my life who are very important to me and they play a very important part in my life. But it's down to me, because when I think, you know, this is based on my experience for myself, it came from hurt, it came from trauma, it came from being disappointed, it came from, and it was just layers upon layers upon layers upon layers. So I became a very good actor, you know, became a very good, I've heard the words during the week, social mask, and that's exactly what I was portraying, a mask, because I didn't want anyone to add to that hurt or that layer of pain. Didn't want to feel hurt. So it was like, if I keep people at a distance, you know, I'd have this superficial persona and look friendly and be all this, I'd be fine. But I wasn't. I was not fine. I was not fine deep down. I was miserable underneath. So I was lacking the connection. And I was also afraid. I was so afraid to open up and say, yeah, I watched the Ted Bundy series 4 or 5 times and analysed it. You know, being judged. It was a fear of being judged. But I was judging myself. But like that, as soon as I met you, it was like, woo! You know, volcanic. It was just like, oh! And then the vulnerability hangovers were so hard.
Were they?
Oh, I still get one now and again.
Really?
Yeah, still get one. But I know that's because I've gone deep.
I've done
the deep, and that's where I want to go. And it's funny now, since we've connected and we're talking, you know, all the time and doing this podcast now, that's all I want to do now.
I know, isn't it mad?
I want to talk the grit.
Yeah, I know. I'm the same. I'm like, can we talk tarot or strategy or... Yeah, and I need to like jam it into the conversation within the first 5 minutes. You know what I mean? It's like me putting the feeders out to see if we're all on the same wavelength here, or like, what is the deal?
Yeah, like today, you know, I mentioned spiritual animals.
I whip out my book with it, like...
Well, yeah, so basically, I watched a podcast during the week, and it was about spiritual animals. First time I ever heard the expression in my life. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and you know, based on my experiences of putting my deep awareness onto people, doesn't go down very well, you know. And I mentioned to you today, so I watched a podcast on animals, spiritual vibes, and lo and behold, Rachel pulls out this massive doorstop of a book. Let me tell you, what animal was it? I was like...
It's always hocus pocus in this house. I'll be burning the sage in the next few minutes.
Like, years ago, I wouldn't have been able to bring that up, you know? Because, I used to read...
Which is actually insane. Yeah. Like, why can't you bring it up?
Well,
I know why you can't bring it up. Like, I'm not actually asking you, but I mean, it's so nonsensical to me to think that you can't bring up, at the drop of a hat, to anyone, spirit animals or... totems or sage or tarot or whatever. Like, why, how have we moved into that type of society where everything is, that's so fascinating,
Yeah.
And everyone's into it to some extent is my feedback on it. Yet it's like this taboo type of topic or something. It just doesn't make, I don't get it. And I don't agree with that either.
I think we all have something. But I mean, it was like when I started to become interested in human behaviour, mm-hmm. obviously, because I was trying to understand myself.
Yourself, yeah. It's always like,
it is,
yeah.
isn't it? And I was into psychology, counselling, anything to do with self-help. Mm. I came across the book, Louise L. Hay.
Oh, yes.
I was nearly floored. I've read that. But when I was, that was my first kind of self-help. Mm. I think I was 21, 22, and that book was like, whoa, this is great. You know, this is amazing. This is my type of stuff. But I would read that in public. Let's say I'd be out reading it because I'm a voracious reader. Mm. People would say, what are you reading? You know, like, oh, Louise L. Hay, I'm so excited. Oh, what are you reading that crap for? Oh, that's just, you know, self-help. Mm. What's wrong with you? So there was this kind of stigma that you're into self-help, there's something wrong with you.
Mm.
Not that I'm learning, I'm trying to grow and trying to, you know,
yeah.
be a better
person.
Evolve
as a human, yeah.
And so I felt judged on the books I read. So to a point, I used to get them delivered different places.
No way.
Yeah.
Are you for real?
And
like where to work?
Why I was Kindle when I needed it?
Yes.
Because now when you're reading Kindle, nobody knows you're reading those books.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But now I don't care. They get delivered everywhere. Like I've got seven on the way at the moment.
That's hilarious.
You know? But it was always this kind of, and I think that's for me. It was just the shame of, you know, yeah, I'm hurt. There's something going on. I'm looking for a bit of connection. I connected through books. I connected through self help. I connected through counselling, psychology. And now it's through serial killers. You know, it has evolved.
Jesus, should I run for my life here?
I think it's always been there. And I'm sure it's the same for you. Like, I'm sure, you know, with your tarot cards and the astrology, that's your connection.
Oh God, I adore it. It's where I got my answers.
There
why is
you
this
go.
Person like this? Or why is this it? Da, 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 da. I mean, it's the answers. You know, I would have a lot of questions. Just, I mean, with the way my mind works, I mean, come on, it's... You know, yeah. So I find it really good for getting answers and insight into people or into situations or for understanding things in a way that humans can't often articulate or the way that they don't have the answers themselves. You know what I mean? So I just find it so, so good for explaining things, you know.
So for helping you understand yourself or other people?
More other people. Like I would have a very good understanding of myself already because I've been into this line of work for as long as I can remember. So like I would have started on myself, you know, but then eventually you move on and you start looking at other people and you just like you'd have so many kind of the way my brain works, I would kind of form my own theories as I go through life just from watching and observing and interacting with people. And then you start kind of putting things together. Like one topic that flew onto my radar about 2 years ago, would it be a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, was narcissism. And narcissism in the workplace. And I just jumped on it because it made so much sense. You know, so I was reading books, I was digging around on the internet, and it provided me with all the, I had these questions floating around in my mind, and it just gave me all the answers. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, that's why I get it now. I understand. Da, 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 you know? I just find it so useful from that. If you could go back to your younger self and say something or do something differently, what would you do?
I don't think I'd do anything.
Really? Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, because I really believe all the crap and, you know, the hurt and trauma that went on. I wouldn't be who I am. I know that sounds cliche, but the awareness, I had awareness very young, you know, because I think, and I'm sure people would, might relate to this, when you hit trauma so young or something happens, doesn't have to be really horrific, but it's your reaction to whatever's going
trauma,
on.
Trauma, yeah, your reaction to
traumatic,
it. Too.
You're kicked into a place of maturity.
You are, yeah. You absolutely are.
You shift very quickly.
It's the people who've had to dig deep are the ones with the insight. That's my theory on it. Again, that's my own personal armchair theory is what I call it. But yeah, it's the ones who have to get on with things at a young age for whatever reason. They're the ones who, you know, learn about people very, very fast. They're the ones who get insights very quickly, you know, all of that type of thing.
Yeah, I agree with you there because... Looking back, for me, I felt very alone, very isolated. People weren't doing that, you know, around me, but it was what I was dealing with on a personal level. I wasn't able to communicate it. I wasn't able to, like, I was seven.
Very young.
And
such key years as well, like informing who you are as a, you know, as an adult down the line.
And I think connection for me then was a connection with whatever was going on. I look back now, it was everything was pushing me back inward. I was going outward, you know, trying to, I was mad into sports, highly competitive, highly driven. I was mingling with everybody on the road, because in those days you could play on the road.
Absolutely,
to 10 o'clock at night.
Bright summer evenings.
And there wasn't much money, so you didn't have your PlayStations or everything. Thank God, I'm so happy we didn't, you know, because we were out, you know,
interacting,
killing each other, you know, kicking everyone around and having a crack or whatever, as kids do.
Mm-hmm.
And I always remember there was that kind of coming home and always feeling alone.
Oh, it's awful.
The aloneness of, I'm dealing with something here, and knowing I was dealing with it. This is like I look back and I go, oh my God, I was a little genius. What
the hell did you
know? Einstein. Yes, in the making, you know? Oh yeah, because it was, I could always feel it. But looking back, I am happy how it turned out, because it pushed me inward, more introvert, even though I tried to be an extrovert, you know, in.
Mm-hmm.
And now it took me probably 20, 30 years to come back to connection and to go from,
it's like full circle, isn't it?
And come back. It's the most amazing feeling. But I don't think I had the tools. I don't think the people around me were aware of what was going on, so how could they offer? And when you disconnect from yourself, I was disconnected from myself, but I was great at putting a show on. I was very good at putting the, you know, everything's okay.
I think that's also an Irish cultural thing, you know, because we're just a society who's notorious for not ever talking about feelings, and if you talk about feelings, you're just a bit kind of out there, you know what I mean, if you're one of these like overly indulgent in your feelings type personalities, you know, that's how you're seen. You know, everything is just, everything's grand, all great here, whatever. You know what I mean? But then when you look at the numbers of people who are on all medication and crippled with depression and anxiety, I mean, is it really any wonder? It doesn't actually get you anywhere, you know?
You said something there, emotions. And I think you mentioned it earlier on when we were chatting, that, you know, there was no place to speak up, there was no place to express emotions. So just get on with it, move on. You know, 100%. Oh, you fell outside, you broke your leg, okay, just get on with it.
You'd be grand.
Yeah. There was that kind of super resilience, as in self-reliance, just get on with it,
But I do think there's a place for that as well, because you do learn how to cope very quickly. You know what I mean?
It's good for
it's good life advice to just be able to get on with something and just do it, because you just have to. You know what I mean? But like, at the same time, it's trying to find a balance between actually kind of going through how you feel about something, if there is something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And actually understanding the emotions and acknowledging them and all of that and the reality. And there's a fine line between that and just being completely in denial.
Absolutely, yeah, I totally agree.
Mm.
So for connection for you, you know, because mine, I know mine is extreme, and that's my observation on it. When do you feel connected with someone?
Well, for me, I would never really feel that connected in a group scenario, because you just, like, it's more airy fairy, easy breezy. And like, yeah, don't get me wrong, there's a time and a place for that, and that's all wonderful and all the rest. But, I suppose for me, it's more like being able to have meaningful conversations, things like that. You know what I mean? Being able to trash out things that might seem completely off the wall. Like, yes, your Pluto was in the 12th house, so therefore this means you might be a bit like this. You know what I mean? Like, saying, like, just, you know, people might think that that's a bit bonkers, but, like, that's the way my brain works. You know what I mean? But there are times when I'm with people where that would be the first thing that would come into my mind, but obviously I wouldn't be able to say that. You'd have to be like, oh, yes, I wonder, I don't know, like, depending on the scenario. You know what I mean? Like, it's not always appropriate where, like, I'll give you an example. I was meant to have a new person joining the team and work, right? And I was whipping out the cards because I just didn't have a good feeling about it. And in my mind, they weren't taking this job. And obviously I said nothing, and then I was looking at the cards again, like the week, I think it was about 2 weeks before she was due to start, and the same cards appeared, which is, you know, she's not going to take this job. And then I went into work one of the days last week, and anyway, she's not taking the job, and that would have been my perfect moment. Yes, oh, that's very interesting, because I whipped out those tarot cards several times actually, and I could have told you that myself. I knew she wasn't going to take that job before she knew she wasn't going to take that job. But obviously, did I say any of that? No, you know what I mean? And like, there's times it's just not the right scenario. Now, if all my hobbies were centered around sports and, you know, playing hockey at the weekend, yeah, it wouldn't make any difference whatsoever. But it depends on your nature and what, you know, what those interests are and who you are and all of that. So for me, like, I prefer one-on-ones, and I kind of like like-minded people. Like, that's how I get my connection, through like-minded people who are able to have conversations like this.
Because
some people can't. They just don't have that side to them. Like, they're a bit more one-dimensional. That's fine. That's who they are too.
Yeah, because you mentioned sports there. So I can understand, you know, because I was in sports many times as well. It's an expression yeah, for me. And you had a common interest with people. But if I was to, you know, list on my hand who knows everything about me and what's happened to me, or, you know,
all the different things over the years, yeah,
I could probably, two people. And that's been the, you know, for me, that's connection. It's been able to be, to own what happened, to own those traits, you know, and to be okay with it. Because I mean, as you know, I talk a lot and I love to talk, and I got criticized for talking, you know. So I was in the wrong circles.
You're talking to the wrong people.
Yeah. And I was talking to the wrong people for a long time, so I stopped talking. But it's amazing. It's amazing when you... it's the biggest relief when you meet someone that's, you know, like-minded. We're not just like-minded, you know. There's a lot more there. There's a lot more connection, you know. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's people in my life, you know, that... or that I have a similar connection
of course.
But now I find that's all I want, and I'm happy to open up, and I'm happy to put it all out there to
see who sticks.
And to demonstrate and say, okay, I'm happy to, full disclosure here, this is what I'm about, and I'm not going to talk about silly things. I want to talk about serial killers. I want to talk about that. Can anyone else help me talk about
that?
And
like, the thing about it is, when you search, like, I would listen to loads of podcasts, as would you, and, like, loads of mine are all around true crime and all of that. But, like, that seems to be one of the most searched for topics.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's mad that you had this disconnection around something that people are fascinated by.
Yeah.
Like, there's the Claremont killer over in Perth, right? I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
No.
And these girls were murdered over there years and years ago. And they couldn't find the killer for over 20 years, I think it was. But anyway... long story short, he's up in court at the moment, and there's a podcast that I'm listening to, and it's brilliant. It's, you know, reporters reporting live from the media rooms and all of this, and it's so interesting. And the guy who's up in court, obviously, was a pillar of the community, you know, all varied the usuals, and, you know, no one had ever suspected a thing and all the rest of it. But the turnout every day from the public is what they were talking about. Like, just the amount of people who are just pulling up in their cars, you know, the young, the old, everybody in between, guys, men, women, everybody, every colour, everything, you know what I mean? Because that fascination is there, you know, and they just want to see, and this is what they were talking about, like, is it the case they're into or what? And it's like, no, they want to see what a serial killer looks like. Like, isn't it gas?
It doesn't surprise me.
Like, people are, I mean, whenever anything got to do with killers or anything like that comes out on Netflix, everyone's talking about it, you know what I mean? Everyone's interested. Everyone's like, oh, did you see this, did you see that, yeah, what did you think?
Yeah, that's really interesting, because look, we both watch them, and I got engrossed in them, and I'm looking for the behaviour. I loved the, you know, I don't think what they did is right, but I'm interested in where did the change happen, you know, where was the flipping point.
I'm always interested in parents, and that's what they never do enough of.
Well, Well, that's what they say.
They never do enough for the parents. Yeah. Mothers sometimes he's like overly dominating.
And I suppose it all came in the 1970s. If anyone has watched Mindhunter, that's when the profiling came in.
Okay.
But I think, for me, I think we're all trying to understand ourselves.
And 100%.
We're profiling ourselves. We're profiling everybody. Yeah. And we become the best, you know, detective watching the programmes. Like, I'd be sitting and watching going, I know who did that. I'm sussed already. Like, I'm often thinking to myself, how could they not figure this out yet? I have it figured out already. Like,
yeah.
you become a detective.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, I often wonder, was that my true passion?
True
Maybe
boy.
I should have been a detective, you know? But no, it's just the interest, isn't it? It's interesting human behaviour.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh,
and
my God, absolutely.
And what's your take on social media for connection?
Oh, I think it's dreadful. I think the only thing it does is drive a wedge between the individual and connection.
Yeah.
I think that it's kind of a weird juxtaposition, because in one sense connection has never been so high. It's like, hi, I have 20,000 followers on social media, my social footprint is, you know, everywhere and blah blah blah, but yet your interaction with humans, it's never been so poor.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like Facebook and all these Instagram, I think they just deliver messages. They're delivering a message, but what message are people putting up there?
What's the message?
No, I mean, for companies would use it, you know.
Right, for marketing and this sort of thing, yeah.
It's delivering. And if you're, it's like when people post up, what are they actually delivering? Because I love to look at, you know, if you go onto my Facebook page, it's all about the coronavirus at the moment. To try to warn people, just because I had swine flu a couple of years ago, and oh my God, won't even go into that. People need to be very careful, you know. And I think hopefully this will help hygiene up and people take it serious, because I was thinking to myself, this would probably stop employers letting people coming in sick, because that's where we all used to get sick, you know. One person would come in sick, and
completely, yeah,
absolutely. We'll go into that's another topic anyway. So, but yeah, it's like you look at people's profiles. I mean, you know, for yourself, in recruitment, if you're trying to get an idea of somebody, where are you going to look? You're going to have a look at them, you're going to see if you can find them. You put their number into WhatsApp, what does their photograph look like? You go into Facebook to see what they look like, LinkedIn, you're going look. Now, obviously, it's not public, but you can tell what's going on with people, because you can tell what they're interested in. You know, people use that for analysis. But then again, you have the other side of Facebook, what's not really going on. So it's behind it. I think, personally, people are using that as a connection tool, and
I just don't see how you're ever gonna. I don't understand the thinking behind it, because you're gonna use it for a connection to, like, a phone. I don't see how that works.
Yeah.
I know the point you're making.
Yeah.
But to me, it's just I don't buy into social media at all. I'm quite anti social media, to be honest.
And because it's
into deep conversation. I get how it works, and it is powerful and all of the rest of it, but it doesn't align with me remotely. You know, I would happily not have a phone. I would happily go back to, like, as in when I say a phone, a mobile phone, I would go back to, like, I don't know, it just doesn't do anything for me. I mean I feel sorry for the young ones growing up today, where they have to get through school and college with social media. Everything is all about what you look like, which is, like, who really cares, unless you're, you know, Cindy Crawford and going to become a millionaire out of it, which, you know, never really happens. I mean, I just think it's such a load of rubbish. I really, really do. I don't think it brings any value into anyone's life. I think people are scrolling, like, it's just a waste of time. Get a hobby, pick up a book, go out for a walk. It doesn't bring anything to your life, you know. And I think, like, falling into a zone of just constantly scrolling, that leads to comparing.
Absolutely.
To comparing, and you're never going to win that game.
Yeah. And so if someone was listening and they're feeling like what we felt, you know, the lack of connection or finding people that have the same... I'm trying to think back. How did I find you? You know, where were you all my life? You know, where did you, you know, because I've went to the meetup groups as well. I've done all that, and I've been in hiking groups. And yes, there's a couple of good friends there, absolutely. So what do people do that are craving the conversation, that are craving the meaningful conversation? Where do they go?
I still do think the meetup groups are a great introduction, because you never know, you might meet somebody there and hit it off. You just don't know. Like, I went to a tarot group for, it was several months, and then I did the exact same course back to back again. I think we spoke about that in the last podcast, yeah. Did we? And I became very pally with the girl from there. Now she's since moved to Canada. But like, you have to keep trying. You know what I mean? You have to keep trying. I mean, I guarantee you, you're not going to meet, you know, really good friends on social media. Maybe you will if you're really into social media, and so are they. You know what I mean? But if you're looking for something that has a bit more meaning, like, you would be better trying to meet up groups. You would be better just trying to put yourself out there a bit. You know?
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think it's either in you or it's not. It, yes. As in, you have a serious interest in people and you want to be around people.
Yeah, or you don't. I mean, I'd be a complete introvert. You know what I mean? And I think people who are really interested in people and like the study of people are introverts, you know? I mean, I have my extroverted moments, don't get me wrong. I completely do. And I wouldn't be like your textbook introvert either. But like, well, I'd be technically what you call an ambivert. That's the actual term. But I don't even know where I'm going with this, actually. Don't know what point I'm trying to make. But
oh, I haven't. No, I was saying that, like... Yeah, like, sure, all the greats, you know, Einstein.
Oh, great, I'm up there at them. I'm like, what's
Rachel? All the greats, Carl Jung, Carl Rogers, Sigmund Freud, Edison.
I mean, they're not these mad extroverts, no, you know what I mean? They're not.
Their biggest insights came from spending time alone and understanding themselves.
Oh, completely.
We're totally misunderstood. We're trashed for some
of so many people out there that are so misunderstood.
Yeah.
Like, my God. And I think social media just helps them be further misunderstood.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, like, it's... For me, on a connection, the benefits of having someone to connect with are, you know, the huge benefits.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
But I mean, when you look at on any of the studies around like loneliness and isolation and all of this type of thing, it's all to do with if you have even one solid friend where, you know, there's a genuine friendship there and there's a real like commonalities. You know, you've a lot of communal interests or that type of thing, that can save you from feeling so disconnected. It's not like you need 20 great mates. It's one or two seems to be like the significant number, which is really interesting though, that there's so many people out there that don't even have that. You know what I mean? That one isn't there.
That's all I need. It's just one person.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just having that one person that you can share with. And because I mean, I have a few friends, but like not millions. But you see people, you know. I was talking to a client actually, and it came up about friendships, and I just came up saying, you know, I wouldn't have many friends.
She isn't was
that?
Saying,
and I just thought to myself, do we all like? It's this kind of, you know, expectation. If you don't have 100 friends on Facebook or 500 friends, but they're not all friends. They're acquaintances, people you've met. They're your people you met through your journey.
Yeah.
They're journey builders, you know?
Mm.
But I think...
And friendships aren't always made to last either. No. You know what I mean? Like, there's a time and a place for them where, like, you might have a really good friend who you travel with, or a really good friend who you shop with, or a really good friend who you have the chats with, or whatever. You know, or go to the nightclubs with, if that's, you know, if you're at that stage in your life, or whatever, you know, whatever stage you're at. But I think some of these friendships are never going to last, and that's grand as well. But I do feel like there's an expectation that when you're friends with somebody, you're meant to be friends with them forever. And to me, that counteracts the whole idea of being human, which is to grow and to evolve. And you're not going to grow and evolve at the same rate and pace as everybody around you, as your friends. And so some of them fall away, and I'm totally grand with that. Like, I think, that's fine with me, you know. That's the way life is. If you're going to stay the same, I mean, I don't see the point in staying the same.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
And I think life throws you different situations, and it doesn't throw the friend beside you the same situations. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So unless your lives are very easy breezy, do you get what I mean? Do you get the point I'm making?
Maybe nobody else will, but I get you. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
No, I get you. Totally get you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because but there's just that expectation now. There's just
Why? Like, to me, there should be no expectation. Like, friends come and go, and that's okay.
Yeah, I was reading a book. I can't even remember the name. the person, I was trying to remember it, but he sold shampoo. I think it was John Paul. Is it the John Paul
Mitchell or John?
Yeah, could be. Is it, yeah. Now, could be wrong. Don't quote me on this. Now, people coming in, getting out. But anyway, it was someone that sold shampoo. But anyway, no social media, no email.
Yeah.
And still has no social media, still has no, doesn't do it, has nothing to do with it. All his business, built his business face to face.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And still lives that way.
Mm-hmm.
And but don't get me wrong, social media has its place, absolutely has its place, you know, but it's not a place for me.
Yeah.
I need the people.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's people out there that need the same. They're trying to get that through social media.
100%.
You know, they're trying to get their fix.
Mm.
Also, to me now, social media is annoying.
Mm.
I have a Facebook page, and I've actually unfollowed loads of people, sorry, because I don't want to hear about your breakfast. You know, I want to hear some depth.
Yeah.
What's really going on?
100%.
Someone's going through this. Really needs help. Yeah, let's come on. Let's all get together. Yeah. Let's work this out. I don't really care about breakfast.
Where you had your latest coffee. Yeah.
Yeah. Who made a snowman? I'm not really interested.
Yeah.
So I have unfollowed. Now, I haven't befriended. I've unfollowed so I don't get their feeds. And I've kind of put my Facebook marked for information.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Now, I put some stuff out there that's rubbish too, you know.
Yeah.
But it's, it's. And that's the way I am in my life now as well. You know, I'm filtering out.
Yeah.
I want more connection. I want more meaningful conversations. I'd love more people to have them.
Yeah,
like
me
there's
too.
My life is lighter. Maybe yours is heavier for me. But, you know, it's lighter. I sleep better. You know, I'm more buzzed up, and I'm not scared to open up.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't care what people think anymore. I just say what I want to say. And I just want more of it. So it's funny once you get that, it's amazing how you start to
drift away from the filter.
Move away.
Yeah.
And then another thing I did notice when I started being okay on my own. I was always good on my own anyway.
Mm.
Maybe too much on my own, but there was a lot of good on the head, you know. But now that I'm more myself and I'm happier with myself and, you know, I'm having more meaningful conversations. I can't listen to headphones anymore. You know, like I used to be walking to work, bum, listening to my iTunes, and I'd be listening to, I've downloaded playlists for years. I can't listen to that anymore.
Really?
Because I'm so happy to walk along and listen to my thoughts.
Listen
to the conversations that we've had here today. Yeah, I've analyzed this now for 2 days.
It's so
I've been
funny.
Going through, you know, and I'm thinking, what can we talk for the next podcast? And what can we talk? What meaningful? I'm having the meaningful conversations with myself now.
Mm.
So the noise is filtering out.
That's so good.
Yeah. So recommend to people. Find someone. You know, find someone. Even write into us. Meet us. Oh my God, we'll talk all day to you. You know, we'll talk about anything. Mm. Nothing scares us.
Yeah.
You know, we're being actually quite nice with our podcast. But we're going to get dark and juicy. We have to. I'm dying to. So what time is it right? Have we got?
Yeah, we've got good time. That's okay.
Okay, grand. But yeah, what about you? Now that I'm sure you've done it before. You're probably more ahead than me when you're opening up. Like when you're having the conversations now, after today, how would you feel after today? You know.
I'd be thinking about the topic for the next show.
Yeah.
This type of thing. I'd be thinking about. You see, I don't know. Like I find. I don't.
We're very relaxed here. I think we know what's happened. We've been talking for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Before the show. I know it's like.
I'm all talked out.
We're all relaxed now and we're all talked out.
Yeah,
this is great. It's great exercise.
It's
you know?
So good, yeah.
Because I find.
And I think that, like, that's literally it without me even saying it. You basically said it for me, which is great. Like, I won't be thinking at all.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like my brain is tired now. I can just be in the moment.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't have to have these crazy conversations with myself any longer. You know what I mean? And I'm all talked out.
Yeah. Because I find that. It's like, you know, it's like this fix. It's like, you know, because another friend of mine says the exact same thing. When we'd meet up, we'd talk.
And then you'd be zonked.
And then she says she goes home and sleeps for hours.
Yeah.
You know, and I was thinking, oh my God, am I draining the life out of her? You know, and she would say, it's like therapy.
Yeah.
Just get it all out.
And I think sometimes, like, because what we talk about can be so out there, like, it's all tarot cards and it's stuff that's, like, it's other realms. So
yeah.
There's no logic or rationale necessarily involved.
No.
And it can be really tiring, but in a, like, nothing to do with you, nothing to do with me yeah. way. Whoops, whacked off the mic there. But it's more, it's so out there, it can actually leave you tired. It's you know brilliant. What I mean? But at the same time, this is very odd, but it can leave you really energized because...
Yes.
Does okay. that make sense?
Yes, sure, I'm in a sweat here. You know? I do a workout.
Rachel's in a sweat every time we do a podcast.
I used to do a lot of sports. Yeah. I used to do a lot of hiking. Obviously, with work now, I don't do that much hiking. I'm busy, whatever. And the talking now gives me the exercise.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel...
Because you're kind of tapping into your true self, aren't you?
That's it.
Is that what it is? And so, like, that's really energizing.
Yeah, because even what happens... For me, more times, and I get... I kind of think there's something odd with me, but it's not. It's energy. You're right. It's the flow. I would come home and, like I said, be levitating. Like after,
oh, yeah, that was so funny.
I don't remember going home after this podcast today. And I'll go home and the husband will be asking me questions. And they'll be like, can't talk. I'll talk to you in like 2 days. Because it's like, I'm
talked
out.
You're all talked out.
I don't have
any. Never thought that would happen to you, Rach. Rach could talk for days, literally.
You see, it's weaning. I'm weaning off the need to talk.
It's
because
so funny.
It's been
fulfilled or something.
Fulfilled.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I'm completely fulfilled.
Yeah.
Protein bars, 10 cups of tea.
Yeah. Good to go.
It's
the remedy for everything.
And it's like the conversations we have, it's not even, like we're talking about connection, we've mentioned everything here. This is what happens. We can talk about
we just go off and
talk. It
just leads, doesn't it?
Because it all is related.
Leads into something else.
Isn't it? It's all related. And to be able to just talk randomness.
Yeah.
Because I suppose for a lot of people, I find, you know, you're at work and you're in a certain mode.
Mm.
Certain things, you know, your brain's working in a certain way. And then it's like, oh, I just need to get out and just... But I remember, you know, I worked for a company. And to be fair, my boss kind of knew... I needed to get out and talk because I'd be distracting people because I'd be just like...
Dying for chat
and I'd be trying to ring in everyone just to talk to people or whatever. He'd say, go on out there and you need to get out and go and talk to clients and get out there and knock on doors. Just get out for a few days.
That's amazing.
And I got it out of my system because I just needed to...
That's unreal.
Needed to connect. I needed to be around people because I found work environment to just be very... people are in their own...
Yes. Yeah, and also with recruitment as well, like it's so target driven that there's not a huge amount of time for talk because you've got to get those numbers.
I'm not
on
there
the board.
To talk. I'm hired to
do the job.
Do
or
the job. But it was a need for me. It was a need that was an unmet need for a long time. So I used to go, but he got it, and fair play to him, he did get that.
It nearly kind of just listening to you there taps into like self care for you.
Brilliant. Yes. That would be. Because I always thought like, self-care was just brushing your teeth and washing your hair.
Oh my God, that was so funny.
So, you know, you say self-care, I'm thinking, yes.
I washed my hair today, and you know, it's not what you mean.
No,
But it just, by the way, when you talk about that and that need, it just sounds to me like that actually is self-care for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Taking care of those needs.
Yeah.
And that for you is obviously like talking and connecting with people. And it's very people orientated.
Yeah.
So sitting at a desk all day isn't necessarily the answer for you.
No, never was. But I worked with people, but you know.
Yeah, of course. And like in one sense... Like recruitment people tend to be quite chatty and quite outgoing, so you would have gotten a little bit of connection from there, but probably just not enough with the nature of the job.
But I couldn't work in that environment now.
Yeah,
that's just noise to me now.
I feel like that's past you or something, like that's your previous life.
I'd need to be in a glass bubble, no one talked to me, and I'd have the noise control headphones on. I wouldn't be able to deal with that now.
And what else do you even think about self-care? Does that feature in your life? Or
I suppose it is self-care. So
do you do without knowing, even, you know?
It's a very good word because I wouldn't have put it that, but that's what it is. So I, in the last couple of years, I noticed I needed deep connection. So I had to find it in myself. So I did a lot of personal development, read a lot of books, a lot of seminars, did a lot of hours. And I realised, which I didn't realise before doing all that transition, I like time alone. And I don't mean just alone, as in, because I was alone growing up, but I don't mean alone, I mean pure silence. Like, no radio,
Sounds amazing, right? I'm not going to lie to you. It's my dream.
And I, most Sundays, if I'm not working, what I do is, you know, I get the books out. I have two books that I'm going to get dug into and I'm going to be on my own. And if that doesn't happen for me now regularly, I feel edgy.
Mm.
And I used to get that from hiking. So I used to go hiking. Mm. If I hadn't gone hiking for a while or for a couple of weeks, I haven't hiked in months now, I used to get this unedgy feeling, this unnervy feeling. Mm. I need to get out, I need to get out, I need to hike, I need, need to move. Now I get that if I don't spend time alone.
Oh, that's so interesting.
And it's vital now. I've recognised it.
That's so interesting because I would be the exact same. Like, I would have to have time to myself every single day without fail.
Yeah.
And there's people who I would know quite well where they can't be by themselves for 3 hours. Ever. You know, like, it's, I literally, like, you couldn't pay me to be around people 24/7. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, like, having that bit of time to myself every day, it keeps me going. Otherwise, I start to unravel. I'm not cut out. I'm not made to be around noise, people. I can't hack it. I just need to be by myself. And I love that time. Absolutely love it.
Did you have that all the time? Or is that something you developed or you recognised? Or, you know, how did that come about?
When I was young and growing up and, like, living at home and that type of thing, going back many years at this stage, I noticed that whenever we would have people around to the house, like family or friends or whoever would be calling in, I would always retreat. And I would find myself in my room. And I noticed that I was the only one who did this. Like, no one else, you know, was that way inclined. But I would be, like, the introvert without question. And my siblings and stuff would definitely be more on the extroverted side of the scale. And I would retreat to my room. And sometimes it would only be for 20 minutes. But I actually needed to recharge my batteries. Because I find being around people all the time, my energy just depletes. Especially if it's a noisy environment, if it's a group, if there's a lot of people there, a lot of talk. Like, I love quiet, I love peace, I love silence, I love just being on my own, you know. Maybe probably a bit more than most, I would say. Unless you're talking to another introvert out there, they're probably the same. Or like you saying the same as well. And that's how I noticed it. And it was like, but it's actually like with you, it's a need. Like, I'd be sitting there and I could have been like 15, for example. And I would just disappear and go up the stairs into my room, close the door, and I would just breathe, you know. But like that, it's a need to give my head space or something. I feel like it's like my head gets tired faster than the next person, you know.
Yeah.
And I find people's energy is very draining. Now, not always, and not with specific people, but with, like, in general, group situations, you know, it's like, just get me out of here. I'm not really, this is not my vibe whatsoever, you know, it just isn't. So that's where I noticed it starting. And you don't really think much of it at the time, but as you get older and you move on, and, you know, there's times I'd be leaving work and I'm literally like racing home. They call me the road runner because I'm like out the door, gone, right? And I'm like belting it onto the M50 and like breaking every spree. And I'm like, no, I'm not breaking it. No. Anything, you know what I mean? Like flooring it to get home. And like, I'm not actually going home to do anything. I'm just going home. But it's like my space and my zen. And like, I love being at home. Like, I'd make a great hermit, I'm not going to lie. Living my best hermit life. But like, it's a need. It's not just me running home because, you know, whatever. It's like, I just need to be at home. You know, that sounds really bizarre. And some people here are listening are probably like, I don't get, like, what? How does this work? You know, they might be running to the gym to do their great workout and meet their other gym goers. Like, I mean, not a hope in hell of that happening to me. You know what I mean? Like, no. But yeah, it's a need. It's a need. Silence, solo time. Gather myself, re-energize myself. All of that, you know, it's key. I have to do it or I just start to unravel fairly fast.
Yeah, it's because, you know, when you were saying that, because you have siblings.
Yeah? I do, yeah. Yeah. I'm the youngest. But the wisest. Had to get that in.
It's interesting hearing that. Yeah. True. I heard that.
Don't think anyone would disagree.
But you have siblings and mm-hmm. I'm an only child from my mother and father together. You can work the maths out on that one, people. But anyway, so what I'm I used to think it was just because I was an only child.
Yeah, and it's funny that you say that, because I have noticed with only children that they are very good company for themselves, and they're used to spending a lot of time on my own or on their own. And I really identify with that. I'm not an only child at all. I have several siblings, and yet I would really relate to that. You know what I mean? Like, one of my friends who I went to college with, I'm still friends with her, she's an only child as well, and she's got a really deep, meaningful side to her nature too. Also a bit of an armchair psychologist, and she's madly outgoing at times, but like that, loves her own company, loves to be by herself, and I would say that she needs her own time, and I must ask her the next time I see her. And she's also an only child, but I identify with that more than the average Joe Soap, who has like several siblings, and you know, because not everybody needs time on their own.
Yeah, because I did crave to be around people as well.
Yes.
You know, I had.
Oh my God! Yeah, I was the same, the exact same. Yeah. But it's like the right people. And that's the struggle, is in that, the right people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I would have been the exact same. Like, I always had friends, thank God. But it was, like, sometimes it just, it's hard to even articulate. It's more the right company at the right time as well.
Yeah. No, because like I said, like, if we hadn't met 3 years ago,
this
podcast wouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't be the person, I probably would have been the person on the front, you know, but you know, now it's, you see what you get, you know. But yeah, I mean, I recognize the need to be alone, and it's like on a Friday, my life used to be finish up work on a Friday, hit the first pub, talk about your sales and your placements, and go home and, you know, rattle down the canal and hang over the next day. Now my Friday is, okay, what books have I ordered in?
Yeah.
Has Amazon delivered? Hope they have. Right, I'm going to get stuck into this book now, get the podcast done in the morning, I'm going to get home, pajamas, into the everything, get my books out, and just be there on my own.
Where does the wine come in? Any moment now.
Yes, it'll just be right there. And then the Sunday, it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to be on my own. And like you said, I become unhinged if I don't get that time. If I don't get that time, I recognise it.
Speak for yourself, Rich.
During the week, if that doesn't happen, I'm like, my God. But since I spent that more time on my own, I've had more insights. I've learned more about myself. I've advanced in my people skills. I definitely understand how Einstein developed. You know, I feel it. You know, I understand why these people spend time on their own. Because how do you know what's going on unless you're interested in people? You know, what have we got left? What have we got left?
Not much. We're going to have to wrap it up. Yeah. That flew by, didn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
I can't even believe we managed to talk again.
I know. We literally just never run out of things to say.
That's actually insane.
That would be so funny.
Okay, guys.
What's the email? Don't know it.
No, we still. This is ridiculous. Okay.
What is it again? Conversations.
Okay, so the Rachel's Conversations at gmail.com. So write in to us if you find this interesting or not. We'll be happy to hear. Any introverts out there that, you know, struggle as well and would like to share their experience and how they connect with the world.
And hopefully talk to you soon with our next episode.
Yes, we'll decide with that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, thanks all.
Bye-bye.